Pleb? Do you want to save on GamerSubs? Come on, let's save today. Don't pay full price anymore. Come on and buy some more. It's like you never saved. Don't pay full price anymore. Come on and buy some more. It's like you've never saved. You can get 10% off on everything, and I will tell you why. Do you want to save on GamerSubs? Come down for 10% off. Go and buy. So here's one. December 20th, 2025, was when it was obviously announced that ESL Impact was going to be stopped, which obviously to me, I thought, well, how incredibly rich that is, because one, it was never a product that made money. You essentially were always subsidizing it, just like most major female sports, as far as I'm aware, are subsidized by the male side of the sport. Like in tennis, they get equal prize money for playing less sets of tennis, if you don't know, and in theory, you don't get the same viewership. In, as far as I know, women's football is subsidized by men's football. So one of the points I thought was kind of cute was, if you remember, the whole incident about me and women in Semler about the Women's Esports League was actually the notion that when they launched it, they said the reason they needed to launch it is because women face so much toxicity online in video games. Now, the point Semler made, and I backed him up on this, is what a fucked up political angle to use that is. Because think about it. The reason to launch Women's Esports are very simple. By the way, I support them. And in fact, that's why I've known for over 20 years now the best women's players. Some of the legends are like literally friends and acquaintances of mine and people I've done content with. So the reason I support women's esports, some very obvious reasons. You know, one, I have family members that are women. I might end up having children that are women. So wouldn't I want them, if they chose to play a sport or an esport, to have somewhere they could play just them without men? Now, obviously, that last little bit does get you in a tricky political situation if you're in the modern day when people are mental. If you just listen to what I said and just look at the nouns and what they actually mean, I think it's very clear what I've just said. And that's actually what everyone in the world agreed upon until about, what, like 2015 or something like that, 2014. So I think, one, they're good. Two, I don't care. I don't think female Counter-Strike players have ever shown they can be vaguely as good as the tier one men. And since if you're like tier three in men, you don't even get to go to the big lands, you'll just never get to play. You'll just be playing the beginning of online tournaments and you'll never get beyond that. So if you want to make a space for them to compete, a bit like women's UFC, look, I'm not a big fan of women's UFC. It's more people like Anders that like that. But I'll tell you what, I'll watch the champions. I'll watch like Amanda Nunes and Ronda Rousey and the fucking elite people at the top. Look, Shevchenko's going to get her shit together and learn some fucking submissions properly, but it's not as good as men's. But I'll tell you what, because they're competing against each other, it has its own charm, because a bit like golf or poker, the best sport is when you match people up at an even level, roughly, then you have a bit of a sweat, don't you? So when they did this, the notion that it was toxicity is absurd, isn't it? Because what that actually implies is that when a woman goes in matchmaking and some guy on the mic goes, "Hey, bitch," that somehow means she can't be good enough to be a pro player, so she needs her own league. Like, what? That's if anything, mate, by that logic, you should just make female FPL. What are we talking about here? You should make a female POG service, if that's the logic. It's not really a good reason. Now, the reason I bring all of that up is, if you did it because women need this place and there's toxicity, is the announcement that you're shutting ESL Impact down an announcement that there's no more toxicity and women don't need that space? Because now ESL has more money than ever because of the Saudis. But guess what? One, ye old Saudis don't give a fuck about women. That's just objectively true. And two, obviously they're being very cynical and just penny pinching and cutting costs so they can spend their money on the sports washing elsewhere. This isn't a very valuable sports washing product, believe it or not. So I put the point. As these female esports projects shut down, remember, you all collectively ran the best marketer in the history of female esports out of the scene for a tweet. That was Carlos Ocelot from G2. If you don't know, he created the G2 women's team, which now some of them even play Valorant like Mimi and still have like massive success there. And what did he do? He imbued them in, "We're not just going to be women and play and go, oh, please let us play in our league." He did the G2 banter style and shit talking that has always been famous on Twitter. conservative, like over half a decade at this point in time. And he encouraged the women to do it as well. And so as a result, two of them became legendary for it. Mimi still does it. There was Mimi Cella, or whatever her name is, and Petra, the Dutch girl. And they both were mega at like banter, jokes, trash talking. And it brought out a bit like when it was UFC, like a different side of the competitors. You normally wouldn't see. They weren't these demure little figures who were like, I hope I win. Kawhi, what's that? Like this, I hope I win. They were like, we're going to beat them and send them back like losers. And that, and there was like a lot of men that was like, all right. So a bit like Anders watches the women's UFC. They were like, fuck hell, I'm going to tune into this. So you ran him out of the whole scene, by the way. He was the best ever at marketing. Almost all the other teams copied him and even showed you could make money on your women's team. And as a result, loads of other people got careers and had leagues, etc. You ran him out of the scene for doing a tweet where it was just a video of him with Andrew Tate in the background. That was all it took. And then he liked some tweets. So my point is, you cut off your nose to spite your face there, didn't you? Except in this case, you don't even have a face. It's like you cut your whole face off to spite the idea of your face. And so I just said, hope the Twitter likes, which is what they did it for, can pay your rent. Because now a load of people, by the way, won't be having a professional career. They won't be able to make a living. They won't be able to pay their rent and their bills. And they'll have to get a real life job, or they'll have to move out of the playing side of the industry and become a small streamer or work in an org as, you know, a marketing person, talent manager, whatever it might be. So in comes an utter moron. And he just does this. He goes, are you still wearing a jacket indoors after 10 years? Now, anyone who's followed my content will know one of the iconic things about me in the early days of my content. So let's say we go back to like, when would it have started? I mean, before I put videos on my own YouTube, I used to obviously appear on things like Unfiltered, Chan Man's Talk Show. So let's say realistically, 2012. So in 2012 or so, I would appear on camera with a big puffer jacket, or not really puffer jacket, it was like a big winter jacket with a fucking Game of Thrones style fur thing, because I lived in the northeast of England and it was really expensive at the top of my house to put the heating on, and it wasn't my house. So as a result, I used to just wear a coat, big deal. So at the time, I did that for a few years. Now, if you don't know, I haven't lived in that room, in that house, in that country since 2017. Now, this was in 2025. So at this point in time, it is already over 8 years since I have lived in my actual house in the UK. In the meantime, I have done thousands of videos and appearances where I'm not in a big jacket indoors like that. So here's what's mental. This guy is coming onto my Twitter in 2025, replying as if he knows anything about me and going, ha, I will dunk on him because he is, ha, I bet you are still wearing that jacket. Got him. It's like, I haven't worn it in 8 years. So even if I was, what's the point? What does that have to do with what I said about the marketing and how people are not going to get any money in the league? Don't worry, though. This guy turns out to be an actual knuckle-dragging fucking cretin. Because get ready for this next post. It will actually beg a belief. You will see how deeply unintelligent this person is. I would be shocked if this person would even clear 90 IQ. Get ready. This is a recent post. I Will Dominate said, I swear, Bin ages slower than the rest of us. How is he 22? Because it feels like he's been around forever, hasn't he? Because obviously he was in the world's final in 2021. But he was just really young at the time, wasn't he? He was like a young pup because he's from the LPL. And sometimes they even lie about their age and could be younger than that. So Kira points out, same energy as Kanavi, who in our brains only started playing at the top level in 2020, being older than Canyon. But Canyon was already around in the scene around a similar point in time. So you think, wait a minute, you think of Canyon as a vet and Kanavi still feels like the young pop. But you look, he's a year older. So Kira's made a point about them. Get ready for that brainiac that said this shit about me with the court. He comes on and he goes, how? As in, how can Kanavi be older than Canyon? Get ready. How? Kanavi is Griffin 2017 and Canyon is DK 2018. I'll just pause. Do you, the viewer at home, understand the mistake he's made there? That shows he is extremely stupid. Okay, I'll answer it for you. That was a space for you to answer at home. He actually seems to have mistaken when someone debuts on a team for the year they were born in. Because as you can see on the screen, you can see how Kanavi was born in 2000 and as a result would have debuted by this logic when he was under 16. Canyon was born in 2001 and debuted in 2018. So when he was like 17, and since it's June, he even could have been 17 or 16. So same sort of age even they could have debuted at. What's the mystery? His logic is, yeah, but Canavi was in Griffin in 2017. Is that, by the way, I don't even think he was in Griffin in 2017, was he? Or if he wasn't playing in the main lineup. Like, what a fucking insanely mental pause to make. How could it be? What a fucking dunce. In December, when Furia lost at the major, remember, let's just set the context up, because Brazilian fans routinely lie because they're emotional, and so it causes them to get rid of the feelings that of bad emotions. They just lie about reality and what they said and did. So coming into the major, do you remember what Furia had actually done? Can maybe even show you here. Fuck it. Let's just do it, shall we? Furia were the number one team in the world at the time of the major. So you go and look here. They'd won Fisher Playground, which wasn't the best teams, but had some good teams. They beat Mongols there, who obviously was still a good team with Senzu, the ones that had won EWC. They didn't do well at Pro League, but to be fair, they lost to Vitality, the best team. Thunderpick World Championship wasn't the best teams overall, but they beat Na'Vi in a close final, and 3-2. And then they won IEM Chengdu, which was epic, and 3-0 Vitality in the final. Then at Blast Rivals, they like, I think they beat fucking Vitality even in this tournament as well. Then they beat Falcons, who was also really hot this season, in the final. So going into the major, they were the number one ranked on HLTV, on VRS. Because they beat Vitality, everyone said they're the favourite to win the major. At said major, they were able to 3-0 the group, cleaned everyone out, easy. They even shit-stomped Na'Vi, if you don't remember. Then they got a bracket that was them against Na'Vi, who they just like 13-2'd. And it was going to be winner of Mouse of Fears, which looked for all the world like Mouse. Well, that's a team you'd think they'd beat. It isn't a team to win the major. And so it looked like they'd at minimum be second place in this major. They had the easy side of the bracket. Meanwhile, Vitality was one of the other favourites. Falcons was like the third favourite. Spirit would probably have been people's like fourth favourite at this point in time, if not Mouse. And then Mongols is not that good, but they kind of miraculously made them. So the hard side of the bracket was here. There's no world, first of all, where people thought they're losing to Na'Vi. Even I thought they'd beat Na'Vi. I just bet on Na'Vi because the odds made sense. And then if you would have even said that they play Mouse or FaZe, either way, they're going to the final. So they mega underperformed. So let's read the tweet. It's a joke, obviously, isn't it? But it's also true. What does this five-man Furia lineup have in common with their fans? They're both a bunch of major losers. Now, do you see the joke I'm doing there? Let me just explain a joke for very stupid people. They have quite literally just lost at the major. So in the most technical, literal and real sense, at the moment I'm making the tweet, they are major losers. They just lost at the major. I'm also playing on the idea that major doesn't just have to mean the Counter-Strike tournament, the major, the world championship. It can mean major as in like of great importance. And so I'm saying also that their fans are massive losers. Also true, as this tweet will show. So in comes a Brazilian fan to make my point for me. He goes, winning four championships in a row is being a failure. Pause. I didn't talk about that, did I? What I said is they are major losers because they've just lost at the major. That is indisputable. Also, it's my language, English, and I absolutely have a command of it. You don't have. So first sentence, immediate nonsense. Second one, going to the major playoffs is being a failure. Yes, actually, absolutely. For a team that is ranked number one in the world on VRS and HLTV and has an easy bracket, including the first round being against a team you just shit-stomped who isn't even a contender to win that major at that point. And you're the team that's won Chengdu and 3-0 at Vitality and everyone's seen you've beat the best teams in the world. I think the only one you hadn't beaten was maybe Mouse. And because you hadn't just played them and you'd had some back and forth series with G2. Aside from that, you were dusting off Falcons, fucking Vitality. You were taking care of all these teams. I can't remember. I think if they'd have played Spirit, they would have beaten them. They were beating everyone. So yes, for that team, that is a failure because failure and success can be in a sense absolute, as in winning is success, but failure and success are relative to your expectations. So that was absolutely a failure. But again, because this is a mentally ill person, they're going to pretend like it's me and you. And for us to just make the playoffs would be a success. So you can't ever be a failure as long as you make the playoffs of the major. So, you know, do you remember, guys, when FaZe Clan went to the Boston Major Final, they were the heavy favourites over Cloud9. They'd beaten loads of times. On the third map, they were up 13-7. They let it come all the way back. Then they were up 15-11 with four match points, and they went to overtime and they lost, right? Because they lost, guys, they're not losers, and they didn't fail that major, because actually making the finals of the major, going to the last map, is really fucking hard. It's actually impressive, isn't it? So that's not failure. Oh, we all know that's failure. You know when Nico missed that deagle shot in the Stockholm final and it stopped them going to a third map? That wasn't a failure, missing that shot. He was already in the final of the major. It could never be a failure. No, no. That shot and that moment was a failed play. It was. So again, context is important. Get ready for the dickhead to make another comment, though. Your only way to get engagement is by talking badly about someone who did absolutely nothing against you. You're so pathetic, right? That's just completely untrue, isn't it? One, you're doing something against me right now, being rude, stupid, and making idiotic comments. Guess why I go so hard on Fury fans and Brazilian fans in general? They've been doing that to me for publicly at least 10 years. And if you go back to 1.6, there used to be a terror on the forums even back then when MIBR was good back with Koku. So actually, it's not that no one's done anything to me. Another thing they do, Brazilians, is they self-victimise and then also go, I didn't do nothing, boss, and pretend they didn't do anything when they just did a load of shit to you. So they do the old, and then they darvo and go, actually, you're attacking me and I'm just defending myself. And apparently the only way I can get engagement is by doing that, but it's just not true, is it? By the way, I get millions and millions in engagement every month, and they're not all just from inflammatory tweets or negative tweets. I could get a tweet right now, by the way, where I just say, here are my five best Brazilian players ever. In order, it would probably be like Kogu, Cold, Zera, Fur, Fallen, and whatever. That would get a bazillion amount of engagement. But you said I have to just talk badly about this. Is fucking nonsense, isn't it? There's nothing going on in here at all, by the way. This guy even goes, he even did a 40-minute video against Reckless. I actually did a 2-hour video. And against Reckless, okay. I mean, I actually just said what other people said about Reckless. I even said some things that were complimentary. One of the best EU players in LoL, right? If you're one of the best EU players in LoL, you can never be a really bad teammate and abuse your teammates. Don't know why. And Reckless won almost everything this year. He means literally, Reckless, by the way, won EMEA Masters. So because Reckless won EMEA Masters in 2025, I must have been wrong to make a video about him being one of the most abusive and narcissistic bad teammates ever for the years before that. Him winning a Tier 2 tournament in the region of Europe, somehow his victory has an efficacy that proves he's a good human being. Get ready. His opinions doesn't matter no more. That video got over 300,000 views and like thousands of comments. Everyone, in fact, other people made response videos, and collectively all the videos got over 1 million views if you add them all together. Everyone is proving him wrong, right? Reckless winning EMEA Masters proves that I lied in my video, and half of the European Hall of Fame one day didn't say that Reckless was a terrible team, it was a piece of shit, including coaches who said he entered stage games and international matches. That didn't happen because he beat some teams in EMEA. Brilliant stuff, innit? So, another one from December. It's actually mental to hear people act like Joe Rogan is evil because he doesn't constantly fact check his guests. It's not an interview by a journalist, you psycho. It's literally just a conversation. You're against people being allowed to be wrong while conversing publicly, right? I don't care what... Well, actually, you've got to this. I am an expert interviewer and a journalist. So I know a lot about journalism. And as a journalist, I can tell you, even as a journalist, you don't constantly fact check people. What you do is if someone says something that is obviously hypocritical or a blatant lie and you have evidence against it, yes, I do think as a journalist, you actually have a responsibility in doing the interview because it's implied by the fact you're doing it as a part of journalism to mention to the person, well, I've got to push back on that. Actually, that's not what the evidence said in this case, or that's not what you said in the past or did. Now, Joe Rogan isn't a journalist. Essentially, Joe Rogan, I actually watched his podcast when it first existed. It wasn't called The Joe Rogan Experience. Here's what it was. He used to go to UFC and to do his comedy stand-up gigs just in small clubs. And he would go, this is in like 2010 or something, and after the show, he would go backstage in like the green room or the locker room or whatever, and he would just get out his laptop and he would just stream it. And then also, when he was at home in California, he would stream himself with his mates. And it was even like a really scuffed setup at first without a proper overlay. And he wasn't in a studio. They were just on couches and shit. It was like Joey Diaz and fucking Eddie Bravo. The joke is half the people he sort of disowned or doesn't keep them with the episodes on when you're at the spot. And he would just chat with them, just chat shit. He was a literal stoner who was a UFC fan and was into aliens and was the moon landing not real, for example, and all that shit. And they would just sit there and they would just talk shit and they would drop mad slurs sometimes and say all edgy jokes like comedians. The idea that because that show just then gets really big, if he has guests on, He asked it, even though he doesn't have the facts. First of all, the logic of people really would be, well, if he has the guest on, then because he has a big platform, he has a responsibility to know what they're talking about. So he has to know every topic they're going to bring up and say, right, tell me in advance every topic you're going to mention so I can fact check it and run it through journalism. Even though I'm not a journalist, I'm just essentially a guy hosting a chat where we even smoke weed and drink beers and have cigars, but it just got enormous. Because it got enormous, I have to do that now. No, you're psychos who want to control what people say, and you won't even let people have a fucking hangout where they talk about stuff. So I made a pretty good point. So you always know an idiot is going to invoke Godwin's law and immediately, or rather make Godwin's law be invoked by me, by just immediately going to the Nazis. So when I'm talking about something reasonable, like, let's be real, let's just run through his questions and see if it makes sense. He goes, the extreme example would be, would you allow Hitler to come on a podcast and spew his Nazi anti-Semitic ideology without any pushback? Probably not. So there does exist some gradient of responsibility. Right, guys. You know the concept of an argument from absurdity? It's the notion that you just go to such an absurd length, it isn't fitting what you were talking about contextually in the point. Like, basically, by his logic, if I say, should you let kids do what they want? As a general rule, you'd go, you know what? You probably should let them do what they want. Like, you should discipline them a bit, but you should let them do what they want otherwise. Like, you know, if they want to pick this type of clothing, or they want to pick this game to follow, or they want to pick the singer, and then you go, wow, so you just let your kids run out in front of a truck and start playing there and lying down, they'd be killed. You're like, well, no, we never said about something extreme like that, did we? That's all he's done, and he thinks that's a gotcha. By the way, you will always have edge cases. So his logic is, what if Hitler was alive? Now, in this scenario, it doesn't even work as a hypothetical, because if Hitler could be alive now, then logically he couldn't have enacted the things he did, because that actually caused, remember, the world to turn against him, and he had to basically die in a bunker, didn't he, of suicide. So logically, he couldn't have done those things, but somehow we're in a world where he's simultaneously a guy that did all that in the 40s, that's why he's evil, but he's also alive now, and he's appearing as a guest on Joe Rogan's podcast. By the way, if you actually think Donald Trump appearing is even comparable, you are so deeply mentally, it's fucking nuts. Like, it's bonkers. So then it's the idea that Hitler comes back, he's on the podcast, then Joe Rogan just sits there, as if Joe Rogan would do this, by the way, and just lets him say the most evil shit ever. That isn't even who Joe Rogan is. Remember, I said fact check. I didn't say never push back ever, or never just give a different opinion. And so because the most extreme one ever would be Hitler just saying evil shit, by the way, you wouldn't even be allowed to stream up, it would get taken down immediately, that's against TOS. So already it's invalidated as a stupid opinion, isn't it? You wouldn't need to stop him. And then he just goes, so there does exist some great... So because the craziest case ever would be unacceptable, that means every other case isn't acceptable. Right, I'll tell you a very famous example of why this type of argument is stupid. It's something people said about, it's a witty quote about censorship. They say censorship is telling a man he can't eat a steak because a baby would choke and can't chew it. So it's an argument. If you give a tiny baby a stick, it could die. So because a baby would die, and a fully grown adult man with all his consciousness and a totally responsible adult, he shouldn't be allowed a stick either because a baby would die from it. That's what the logic of this fucking cretin is. Here's a good one. A few years ago, Cassad, during the major, I'm going to guess, goes, Blast is the worst TO that we ever had in the circuit. This guy goes, Flashpoint. By the way, Flashpoint wasn't. Flashpoint inarguably brought millions of dollars of prize money to the players. The teams didn't lose very much money because they actually collectively owned the league, unlike what the Fire guy told you. And then this guy comes in and he goes, Flashpoint killed off Thorin, which makes it the GOAT TO. It didn't kill me off. First of all, I'm around now. Do you want to know a little detail? I won't tell you the amount. To this day, I make six figures in US dollars and euros per year. That's enormous for the countries I live in, by the way. That would put me in like close to the 1%, like I was always a mega lawyer or something. I also have made the six figures per year something like the last 11 years in a row or something like that. And I don't even do the events anymore. So that part doesn't even make sense. It didn't kill me off. I'm even here now and I still have a YouTube channel where I can get 300,000 view videos like I did last year. Then also, I do all my content. I have a whole company that I co-own, I'm one of the majority owners in, called Last Free Nation, where I just do podcasts every week that get like 10,000, 20,000, 40,000 views. I'm also on a show called The Four Horsemen that is literally the biggest podcast in esports by numbers across all metrics. Spotify, fucking Apple Podcasts or whatever. What else? Obviously YouTube, Twitch, all of it added together. It's the biggest viewed podcast in esports. And then lastly, maybe he means I didn't attend events. Well, first of all, right after Flashpoint, I did actually do the biggest major in the history of Counter-Strike. It was called PGL Stockholm 2001. It had doubled the prize money, so it had $2 million overall and $1 million for first place. It was the most viewed major ever. At the time, I think it was almost double what the record was. I think it still holds the record now. And actually, if people don't know, I was the one when Flashpoint came along, said to ESL, I won't work with you. They'd already booked me for a bunch of writing work and they were going to contact me about working some of their events like I'd done every single year for the past like 4 years before that or something. I told ESL I wouldn't work with them. After I said that, Carmack and the Flying DJ went on an episode of By the Numbers that I didn't appear on so that they could talk about ESL versus Flashpoint without me being there, since I had a conflict of interest since I worked as the creative director of Flashpoint. And they even said on that show that when Richard asked something about them not hiring me, and they said something like, oh, actually, it's not on us, our side. Essentially, we'd be happy to work with that person. And so the reason I now don't work with the Saudis, I didn't work with them at the time, because they stole EPL slots from NA teams just to beat Flashpoint and have more good teams. They just stole earned slots that people had had and qualified to and just gave them to other teams that hadn't earned those slots. I think that's insane for the competitive integrity of the game. So I took a stance. And then out, a years later, even though I don't really give a fuck about the Saudis, it's not my fucking problem, mate. I do think if I'm going to criticise people as much for working with the Saudis, even though I'm criticising them largely for hypocrisy, I think it would then be insane to turn around myself and work with the Saudis. And also, how can I call anyone out for anything? So I've taken a principled stance. I won't work with the Saudis. If you don't know, I actually gave up millions and millions of dollars to do so. I even, by the way, not so long ago, last year, had an offer from someone who does those skits for ESL, those ones, the Dispatch, to be in an episode of that. And I sadly had to tell him, well, is it going to go on the ESL YouTube channel? He was like, yeah. Then I said, I can't appear then. I don't work with the Saudis in any context. That would have been even potentially a way back into working events for ESL, by the way. I would have been part of their like crew of people and meet, but I chose not to do it. So it didn't kill me off. And actually, the reason I don't attend events has fuck all to do with that, by the way. Another one. Bardolph was always complaining about not being given chances, right? So I say, it's rich as fuck. Bardolph isn't being given opportunities to cast. Fuck hearing he isn't being given opportunities to cast. Same guy who denied people like me, Anders Semler, etc. work for years and years and years, yeah? Boo fucking who? Because actually, Bardolph used to be the guy at ECS and at Face It that hired for their events. And when me, Anders and Semler were literally, not even just like tier one, we were the best in our roles and the most popular and doing every other major event and all the majors, he just intentionally wouldn't hire us out of a mixture of jealousy, not liking us and hiring his friends. Actual, all the nepotism that you would hear about that he's sort of complaining about now by saying he's not being given the opportunities because he's implying he thinks he's good enough. So I say, boo fucking who? Because why would I care about that? And then this guy goes, dang, from the comments, I never knew this Bardolph is this hated. What did he do? So this person says he was in charge of talent hiring for a while and he only hired his mates and also whiny prick. So then this dickhead, who I showed in the past, he was one of those nutters that I'd like, was just messaging me almost every day on Twitter. I don't read them, but he's just a lunatic who, I've always said this, he isn't just like a hater of like Carrigan and Simple. He tweets in a way where I'm not exaggerating. I think if he in real life could murder them, he actually would do it. And that's not a joke. I genuinely think this person is so unhinged, he would do it. Like, if he could anonymously send them, like, a fucking box that had, like, cyanide on it, I think he would do it. He is so unhinged, the things he will tweet. So get ready, because he's a lunatic and obsessed with me. He goes, this guy goes, he was in charge of talent hiring for a while. He only hired his mates and also a wily prick. Get ready for this cell phone. He goes, so basically, no different to how Thorin would operate. Because his logic is, I'm a whiny prick and I would only hire my mates. This guy absolutely KOs the shit out of this lunatic because he points out, you picked the worst example ever there, bro. Because as he says, Thorin literally hired Bardolph in 2020 for Flashpoint. When I was creative director of Flashpoint and I got to decide who I hired James Bardolph, someone who already for years earlier had fucked with me because I wanted the health of Flashpoint to be very, very good. I knew he had a popularity with a certain element, idiots in my opinion, or just casuals. So I decided, yeah, you know what? Since I can only get Anders and Semler and I had Moses, but I didn't have Henry and Sado, etc. Some of the others, Lawrence and Scrawny and Harry and Hugo weren't as big back then. I decided, yeah, you know what? Fuck it. Bardolph and DDK is the next biggest thing. I'll put aside my ego, like Bardolph never could working for ECS and Face It, and I'll hire him. And by the way, he got paid a very healthy amount of money to work Flashpoint because you were getting your day rate pretty much for every single day of the event. And it was many days for both seasons. I even had to be locked into Twickenham Stadium with this guy who I fucking don't like. But I was willing to do it for the health of the broadcast and put aside my petty politics. colleagues. So I've actually proven yet again my integrity and who I am and my principles. But dickhead, yeah, you'd probably do the same thing. Well, I didn't know, did I, when I had the chance? You're just so fucking dumb, you don't even know what the scene's like. Another good one. JL goes, I guess people are curious as to why I wore a mask. I'm not sick, at least not outside the game. The cleaner at my hotel room threw away my temporary front tooth that I'm currently using before getting an implant in a couple of weeks. So then I just make a funny, harmless joke, because we obviously banter back and forth, don't we? I even had him on an episode of fucking Feed the Trolls after this. I say, worst part is, he put it under his pillow, and when he woke up, there wasn't even any money. Because obviously when you're a little kid and you're a bit naive, your parents say the tooth fairy comes, if you put your tooth under the pillow, that then there's going to be money there. But the joke is, because it's a hotel room. One, I'm implying, because even though he's an adult, he's actually a bit slow. I mean, isn't that just true? It's an argument. He's even admitted as much privately and publicly to me, by the way. So not only is that true, but since he's a bit slow, maybe he really still believes in the tooth fairy. And then even though he's in a hotel where his parents aren't there, so they wouldn't be able to put the money under the pillow, he's like, where is it? I thought it was going to be there. So even though I've made a funny joke, a really low IQ person is going to try a jab, because their logic goes like this. Oh, I'm angry and I don't like you and I don't like that you've made a joke at his expense, so I have to try and hurt your feelings. Shit, what have you done that I could hurt your feelings over? Now, here's what's funny. This is why I keep insane OPSEC and don't tell people about my family life and private life. Because if, for example, my dad had died of cancer, oh, don't worry, that's what he would be posting here. He wouldn't be posting about Flashpoint. He'd just post something like, well, that's probably why your dad died of cancer. Because these people are demons. They just exist to cause suffering because they're upset in the moment, have a crazy tantrum, but they're not a little kid anymore. So we've got to accept that and go, oh, well. So this guy goes, so sort of like your job prospects since Flashpoint then. Right. So let's just check this. He would have put the tooth under the pillow. And in this hypothetical scenario, which is a joke, he would have woke up and there wasn't even any money there. Oh, he's got me, guys, because I don't have any money, because I don't have any job prospects since Flashpoint. Except the problem is, anyone who was a fan of mine back in the day knows what I'm about to say is a fact. I used to always say in interviews, attending events as an analyst isn't even my main job. My main job is as a content creator and journalist. That is a side hustle that happens to pay very well and got out of control and became huge. It was never my main job. It was never even where I made most of my income. Every year I made more from the rest of my endeavors. So when they do that, like, oh, you're not getting hired, so you don't jump. By the way, I am a self-employed person who owns a company and I make six figures per year. The joke is, I now employ a lot of your favourite talent and commentators and analysts and hosts in esports myself. But no, because you've just decided, I don't know, I'm shit. That must just mean I don't have any money and I've no job prospects. All right, mate, whatever you say. Here's a good one. Dust2US made a post where they said, opinion, new Trump policy baselessly undermines ESL impact. So I made, I think, a very valid point. If you think I'm wrong, ignore Trump and Biden. Just ask yourself, would they ever have made this post? I put, in no universe would a similar policy from the last admin, the Biden administration, ever have seen this labeled as Biden policy, .. Hack journalism on display. Because the point I'm making is, if there'd been something in the Biden administration, yeah, they would have posted, you know, US government or, you know, Department of whatever, limits. They would never have said Biden policy, because they would never have made it about Biden. They knew if you say Trump policy, all the Trump haters are going to go crazy over this post. So this guy goes, executive orders are the closest analog to personal degree in American policy. So it's hard to argue, isn't it a Trump policy? I'm not arguing that. That's exactly, notice he's just, this is, by the way, is one of the editor-in-chief. He just ignored my point. My point is, you wouldn't have done it for Biden, though, would you? I never said it isn't a Trump policy. And then he put, regardless, no, not regardless, he didn't answer my point. Assuming my writers have some sort of loyalty or affinity to Biden, it's wholly baseless. Later on, maybe I'll do a video about this one day. I actually proved that that guy had said a mad comment that looked like he was saying something insane about Republicans in a separate article. But anyway, this moron comes in. He goes, we are talking about Thorin here. One of, if not the most bad faith journalist in the history of esports. So let's just go look this up, shall we? What does bad faith mean, guys? Let's see what the definition is. I'd actually be interested to see what they say the definition is on the internet. So bad faith is the intentional, dishonest or deceptive act of failing to fulfill legal, contractual or moral obligations, often involving a hidden agenda or fraudulent intent. Now, here's what's funny about that, guys. One, I have never done anything I consider immoral in my entire 25-year esports career. Two, I have never lied because I consider that immoral. I actually don't think lying is ever acceptable in your job if you're a journalist, because as a journalist, people have to be able to trust you and that you are seeking the truth and saying the truth, and that you're objective, not in the sense you don't have a bias, but you are objective in the sense you have reached what you think is objective reality and you are communicating to people. So I'm actually the exact definition of the opposite of that. And then he puts journalist as if I aren't one. Again, if I haven't proven I'm a journalist at this point, interviews are journalism, by the way, editorialization is journalism, then by definition, nobody in the history of esports, including Richard Lewis, is a journalist. But no, let's just say a nonsense comment like that. So because you don't like me or disagree with me, I'm one of the greatest liars and you've done everything with a deceptive, immoral and untruthful bent to what I've done. The exact opposite to what I've done. The joke is what you hate me for in theory is what you think I actually think. And that's what I actually think. Except it isn't in this case, is it? Because you're mental. We'll do a couple more. Right, in March last year, since Mouse had to change out shoe here, and you looked how talented that Mouse roster is, in 2024, they're already one studio land, so they just had problems on stage. I just said, wouldn't Carrigan, because FaZe wasn't as good at this time, I said, wouldn't Carrigan just win everything with this Mouse roster? Pretty valid point. This guy goes, what a dumb fucking statement from a esports. You know, again, I'm not an esports journalist guy. Because I've said something about Carrigan he doesn't like, I'm not even an esports journalist now. That's how this works with really stupid people. It isn't, by the way. They just think words are spells that change reality when they say them. They don't know their words are supposed to align with reality to have any kind of a contextual impact. So he goes, Carrigan hasn't been winning consistently since 2023. Why the fuck, given the last 3 months, do you think he could inherit an entirely new team and start winning? This is why no one will cast you, because you're out of touch, right? Let's break this one down, then this might be it. So, let me see. It's a dumb statement to say that the IGL, many people consider the GOAT IGL, the GOAT, who I think was even a nominee for IGL of the year in 2024. Is that even true? Let's book this up. HLTV IGL. He was third. In 2024, 3 months before this, he finished third based on panel selection for IGL of the year. Notice, by the way, Shuhei wasn't third. He's down there. But no, it's insane to think that Carrigan could ever take the Mouse roster and win with it, even though the Mouse roster was a lot better than FaZe at this point in time. Because already Brokey's fallen off. You don't have Rops. Elige is good, but the vibes don't fit. Rain's not as good. And then he says he hasn't been winning consistently since 2023. Yeah, you know why that was? Because his roster got worse. Is that impossible or something? And when he says hasn't been winning consistently, is that even true? Like, first of all, 2023 at this point in time would have been a year and a few months before. Not even that much far back. Not, I'm saying 10 years back. Then secondly, in 2024, he won one tournament. He won IEM Chengdu. But he did also make the final of Katowice, the final of the PGL Copenhagen Major, and then he also made the final of the Shanghai Major. Now, he wasn't winning consistently, but then again, you could actually argue, was his roster even that much better than Mouse? Wasn't it quite comparable talent-wise? So how do you think he could inherit an entirely new team? Well, you just nailed it there. It's an entirely new team, mate. The factors will be different. This is why no one will cast you. Like, you obviously don't understand English. How dare you not understand English and then try to read my comment in English, think your fucked brain could interpret a language you don't speak or understand, and then actually tell me in my language why it's wrong and why the ideas don't make sense. This is why no one will cast you. What does that mean? I'm not a video game. Do you mean why no one will let me cast? I also don't cast. Do you mean why no one will hire me as broadcaster? It's not that. Because you're out of touch. So because I say things like Carrigan would win everything with this Mouse, or I didn't even say that, I just said, wouldn't he? Like hypothetical, I'm pausing a question, a shower thought. Because I said that, that's why no one will let me work events, guys. Put Prime Simple in Zewu's spot in last year's Vitality, the 2024 one with Sphinx, and he would have had an era. Because if you don't know, that team went a million top fours, they won Cologne, and on paper, they actually should have won both the majors. They were in position two, they had, obviously Zewu was one of the best players in the world that year. This guy is mental. So he goes, stop doing ifs, buts and maybes and start doing your real job as a journalist. Journalist, you moron. Right, okay. I'm not allowed as a journalist on my personal Twitter account, not a company account. I'm not allowed to actually just give opinions and do like what ifs or just alternate thoughts that I have. I'm not allowed to do it because since my job is journalist, except it isn't because it's journalist. So since I'm simultaneously not a journalist, but I am a journalist, I'm a quantum superposition as a, my job. Because I have the job journalist, that doesn't allow you to have personal opinions. I mean, I just know a lot about journalism and have done it for like 2.5 decades, and that's just not the case, is it? So let's go. You're a sad, old, little piece of shit. This is all because I said Simple would have had more success with Zemu's team. You're a sad, old, little piece of shit that is desperately trying to hold on to somebody he was before, but no one gives a shit anymore. This guy gives so much of a shit. He has just absolutely, as the kids say, gotten pressed. He has crashed out. And he is absolutely, from my era, showing his ass. Because someone said a hypothetical, like, I think Simple would have been more successful in last year's Vitality. Didn't even insult Zemu, did I? But no. I'm not allowed to do ifs. I'm not allowed to do buts. I'm not allowed to do maybes. These people are so fucking unhinged. Should we do that one? Maybe we'll skip to one of these. Let's see. Let's do this as the last one. Right. So you ready? In 2024, in May, so I'm going to assume, let's look it up. I'm going to assume this is just after MSI 2024. A League of Legends International Tournament, the second most important one. It takes place around May, I believe. Let's see when it was. I'm going to go ahead and guess this had just ended. Yeah. May 19th it finished. And when did I tweet this? The 20th or something? May 18th, when they'd been eliminated in third, I did the following tweet. Two tweets. I said T1 roster international resume. This is the roster of the ZOFG, Zeus, Ona, Faker, Gumayushi and Carrier, who at this point in time, by the way, have won the world championship. They won it in 2023. They hadn't yet won it in 2024, which they did. And they also won it in 2025. They've won worlds at this point in time and an LCK title. But all I say is their international resume after they've just lost and come third. I say 2022 MSI, they were second place. 2022 Worlds, they were second place. 2023 MSI, they were third place. 2023 Worlds, they won it. 2024 MSI, the most recent tournament, third place. So first of all, I'm a historian. That's just an actual punch of esports factual history on T1's roster and how they perform internationally. That already has value, hence why it has 2.5k views, even though it doesn't have an opinion in it. 181 retweets. Then, as the follow-up, I give some context of my opinion because I say, spot the outlier. Now, listen, that is even in a mathematical and scientific sense, literally the outlier. That what would the outlier be of these five results, guys? So second. So didn't win. So out of five tournaments, they four times didn't win. By the way, half of those four times, they didn't even make the final. And one time they did win. So what I'm showing you is that actually the one time they won was the outlier. That's not who they are. Actually, as a trend at this point in their history, they don't win the international tournaments. They just won one time, and a lot of people consider that one a fluke. So then I say, spot the outlier. Now, yes, obviously I'm implying it was a fluke when they won Worlds. So because people get that, I'm implying that, cognitive dissonance takes over, and they like T1, so they wig out. So get ready. So this guy who... it's some sort of like a content creator. He makes like YouTube videos. He's dog shit. I watched one in the League review, actually, the League Awards review a few months back. And it was very mid content. He didn't seem like he knew a lot about the major regions. He said, I'm sorry, but what is the point of this tweet? Right, okay. I, as a historian, right after someone's been eliminated, can't show you the history of how they've done, an esports historian, in all the international events. There's no point to that tweet. That tweet has no point to it. Even though 2.5k people thought it was great. And no, because he knows what I'm implying, it can't be said. So this guy even says, to show how impressive their international runs have been. The joke is, and not really. I mean, look, that's actually a very generous reading where he's thinking, I'm sure they're always finished top three. I also did show that in the first tweet. This guy goes, Thorin is a known T1 hater. Right, so if you're a known T1 hater, you're not allowed to show the event history because it has no value, except obviously you know it does. You're just mad that I showed that they didn't win. He posted that in some kind of an attempt to make them seem bad, but it completely failed. I didn't do that at all, actually. That wasn't even my implication. I just said before, I showed that them winning Worlds was a fluke. I never said they're bad. By the way, as a historian, I would never, I consider it a lie, say someone who continually finishes top three at the biggest international events in the world is bad in 4 out of 5 occasions and one time wins it. I would never say that team's bad. Actually, what you've shown is because you're mentally ill foreign hater, you will say any old shite and imagine it because your brain is broken and you are just a fucked human being who actually, do you have any value? Here's a question for you. What was the point of his tweet? If we're judging people, let me turn that lens, that fucking withering gaze back on him. What was the point of his tweet? A tweet that just says, I'm sorry, what's the point of this tweet? What value do I get out of that tweet? Or you then just do some dog shit armchair psychology that fails utterly because you're so dense you can't understand the context. You just imagine my opinion, which is my opinion is every time T1 doesn't win, they're bad. They're actually bad. And not only that, I failed to show that they're bad, which I never was attempting to do. You know what? I can see why he's called psychopathic Poro. That actually checks out. Since time immemorial, great artists have been supported by patrons who believed in their work and wanted to contribute to their efforts. Well, what's more fitting than the greatest esports content artist being supported by my patrons, the Skrilluminati? So this video and the others on my channel was kindly supported by Toucan, Nikki, Jason, Jensen Gore, and you know it, a special thanks always goes out to Jerky's Minion. Would you like to ask a question in my video AMA? Want teasers? See who the upcoming guests are? Maybe you want to suggest a topic or a guest for my content, or take part in one of those lengthy discussions where you get to set the topic. If any of these perks appeal to you or others, put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati today. Where? In the description box, there is a Patreon link.